either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, it is only the favor, grace, blessings, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon each and every one of us that we have been given the tawfiq and the ability to gather on this blessed occasion of Jumu'ah, an occasion which in itself is indicative of the extreme mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His slaves. It is the mafhum, the meaning of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if this occasion of Jumu'ah is given its due etiquette and regard, then al-Jumu'atu ila al-Jumu'ah, then from one Jumu'ah till the next, and 3 days beyond that, for 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the minor sins. And like this, we find Quran and Hadith replete with examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's willingness and desire to forgive us. So many are the examples and the opportunities that one cannot help but be convinced that it appears as if Allah Ta'ala is looking for an excuse to forgive us. One riwayat it is mentioned that on one occasion Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he addressed him and said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُخَاطِبُنِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيَقُولْ مَا لِي أَرَى فُلَانَ ابْنَ فُلَانٍ مِنْ صُفُوفِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ that Allah will address me, Jibreel, on the Day of Judgment. And Allah Ta'ala will ask me that, O Jibreel, why is it that so and so, such and such individual is in the group of those people who are destined for Jahannam? Jibreel will reply and say that, O Allah, This person's entire life was spent in your disobedience. There wasn't a single occasion in which he turned to you and asked for your mercy and your forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala will say to Jibreel, that wasn't there a day in the life of this person that he looked up towards the heavens and he called out, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, O benevolent, O kind, O merciful. وَهَلْ مِنْ حَنَّانٍ وَمَنَّانٍ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ That, O Jibreel, is there any other Hannan, Mannan being besides me, besides Allah? Who else was he calling out to? So Jibreel says, فَأَخُذُهُ بِيَدِهِ مِنْ صُفُوفِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَأَدْخِلْهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ That I will take this person by his hands. An individual whose entire life was spent in the disobedience of Allah. Once he called out to Allah, he says, I will take him by his hands from the Saf of the Jahannamis and put him into Jannah. We cannot possibly imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How appreciative Allah ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala describes himself in the Quran as Shakur. Very, very appreciative. Minimal effort on our part. And we find that the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so abundant that there is absolutely no proportion to the effort that was undertaken on our part. In this world, when we carry out service or labor for anyone, then the wages, remuneration is gauged according to a certain scale. According to my understanding, for the amount of effort that you put in, how much should you be paid? What is the general norm, accepted norm? Accordingly, in that proportion a person is paid. A laborer on a construction site toils from morning till evening. Beads of perspiration pouring down his back, pouring down his forehead. And at the end of the day, he gets a pittance. 40 or 50 rand put into his hand. Happily, gladly he takes that, feeling satisfied in his heart that I have been justly rewarded for the amount of effort that I put in. Completely opposite to that, disproportionate, is the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple example by which we can gauge and understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets Ibrahim alayhi salam on the Mi'raj. And Ibrahim alayhi salam gives him the message that Aqri ummataka minni salam. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey my salams to your ummat. Alayka wa ala nabina salatu wa salam. And thereafter he goes on to tell him that Jannat is very fertile, very beautiful. The streams of Jannat are flowing. The ground is very fertile, but it is barren. What are the crops of Jannat? When your ummati will recite Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Few seconds it will take to utter these kalimat. Not much effort required. Yet in return for this, Allah's love, Allah's mercy, Allah's desire to grant His slaves, Allah Ta'ala will give them one tree in Jannah. What type of a tree? وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَشَجَرَةً يَسِيرُ الرَّاكِبُ الْمُجِدُّ الْمُسْرِعُ فِي ظِلِّهَا مِئَةَ عَامٍ لَا يَقْطَعُهَا That the tree of Jannat is such that the fast horse rider will ride for 100 years and he will not cross the shadow of this tree. ثَمَرَةُ الْجَنَّةِ أَشَدُّ بَيَاضًا مِنَ اللَّبَنِ وَأَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ وَأَلْيَن مِنَ الزَّبْدِ the fruit of the tree of Jannah, whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, and softer than butter. Allah has kept in each fruit 70 different tastes, 70 different textures, 70 different fragrances, 70 different colors. The Jannati will be eating, he will have taken one morsel into his mouth. At that time the desire for another fruit will enter his heart, instantaneously, without any delay. The taste, color, texture and fragrance of this fruit will change to the one that he desired. And like this, Allah has kept 70 different types in one fruit. Another hadith, it is mentioned, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi narrates, إِذَا نَزَعَ رَجُلٌ ثَمَرَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ عَادَتْ مَكَانَهَا أُخْرَى. That when the Jannati will pluck one fruit from the tree of Jannah, immediately another one will come in its place. So if I wanted to give a da'wat to all the people of Escort and all those attending this ijtima, one fruit from one tree is sufficient. If the Jannati wanted to give a da'wat to all the people of Jannah, one fruit from one tree is sufficient. What price, what value are you going to place upon such a tree? And such a great reward in return for so minimal effort. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates that on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was leading his sahaba ikram in Zuhr Salah. In his Salah, he went forward and he came back. After the Salah, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He inquired that, O Nabi of Allah, today we have witnessed in your Salah something we never saw before. You went front and you came back. What was the meaning of this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that, Urida alayya al-jannah, that in my Salah, Allah brought Jannat in front of me. I went front to pluck one bunch of grapes for you and bring it into this world. فَحِيلَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهَا. However, a boundary, an obstacle came between me and the bunch of grapes. In other words, the permission was not given to bring it into this world. Why? Because iman is iman bil ghayb, iman on the unseen. The life of this world in essence is a test. Generally we find that an individual in this world will utilize his energies, the faculties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him, based on either what we call mar'iyat, that which he can see, that which is apparent, that which is tangible. And the other is that type of life which is motivated and dictated by the maghibat, by the unseen. Jannat we cannot see, Jahannam we cannot see, Qabr we cannot see, the Malaika of Allah we cannot see, the hidden system and Nizam of Allah we cannot see. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were sent to this world from Adam alayhi salam to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make effort upon this humanity, upon the hearts of man, to instill the conviction of the unseen in the hearts. Such conviction that stage has to be reached, wherein his entire life, the manner in which he lives, his 24-hour daily life, is motivated and dictated by the unseen rather than that which he can see. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. A life that is motivated by the mushahadat, that which is apparent, that which he can see. Like that laborer, from morning till night, toiling. Because in return, he's going to get something tangible. So for that, he's prepared to make an effort the entire day. And like this, the whole life is spent. This, in fact, is a life which will be wasted away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent us to this world for us to fulfill our desires and for us to make effort on that which is apparent. Need and necessity every person has. His efforts on this world should be to the extent of his needs and necessities. This is not his object, this is not his purpose. The one who has created this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That the life, the propensities, the attractions, the embellishments of this world are nothing but deception. This word غُرُور, deception, literally what does it mean? That which is not what it appears to be. The dollars of this world, the pounds of this world, the rands of this world, the economies of this world, the attractions of this world. If these things are allowed to overtake our hearts to that extent, the conviction of these things reach such a level in our hearts that they become the sum total focus of our lives, then, my respected brothers, Allah protect us, we have fallen into a deception. Last year we were in America. One brother gave a very nice example, a parable anecdote. He says, I was in Saudi Arabia and I heard this anecdote that there was this street sweeper. And one day his eyes fell on a very beautiful woman. He was entranced by her beauty. He became infatuated. So he went to her father and proposed, asked for the hand of his daughter in marriage. The father calls the daughter. The proposal is considered. She accepts the proposal. So he is told that go and make preparation now. You are soon to be married. So he goes to his supervisor. And he says to him that I'll need some leave, some severance pay. Very soon I'm to be married. So naturally the supervisor asks him, who are you getting married to? When he mentions the name of the woman, she was a woman that was famed for her beauty and her wealth. The supervisor gets a shock that if this ordinary laborer of mine can succeed in such a proposal, what about me? So quietly behind his back, he goes and proposes for the same woman. This proposal is considered and accepted also. Now the supervisor goes to the minister and he says to him that very soon I am to be married, I am betrothed to so and so. When the minister hears the name, his mouth starts watering. So what he does quietly, he goes behind the back of the supervisor and he proposes for the same woman. His proposal is considered and also accepted. Now he goes to the prime minister and he says to him, very soon I am to be married. Similar thing happens, the prime minister gets interested when he hears who it is and quietly he goes and proposes also. This proposal also is accepted. The news spreads like wildfire that the same woman is engaged to be married to the street sweeper, his supervisor, the minister and the prime minister. So the four of them pitch up at the house of the girl and they say to her that what's going on? You cannot possibly get married to all four of us. So she says, never mind, run a race. And whoever wins, whoever can catch me, I'll get married to him. Naturally, based on their background, the minister and prime minister are not going to be fit people. So very quickly they fall out of the race. Now it is only the street sweeper and his supervisor. The supervisor falls out. Finally the street sweeper remains. He also is not able to catch her. The question was asked that who is this woman? The reply was given that this woman is the dunya. The physical embodiment of the attractions of the life of this world. A life that is motivated by that which is apparent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةِ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Like a person striving, traveling in the desert, searching for water. He looks into the distance. The sun is bearing down. The point where the rays of the sun strike the sand, it appears as if there is a pool of water. It appears as if there is an oasis. This individual gets elated. Any person in the desert is looking for water, is looking for an oasis. He starts running in that direction. All his energies, all his efforts, his entire life is spent searching, trying to acquire that which is tangible, that which he feels is a reality. Hatta idha ja'ahu lam yajidhu shay'a. Until when he reaches that point where he thought there was water, he realizes it was a mirage, it was an hallucination, it was a trick of the light. Lam yajidhu shay'a, he will find nothing. His hands are empty. He has wasted away his entire life. This Quran describes elsewhere, hatta إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. They will continue in this ghaflat, in this negligence, chasing after this world, until maut comes to them, until the reality dawns upon them, until they have come to that trick of light, what they thought was water. At that time they will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Allah, send me back now. I have realized success is not in dollars. Success is not in the wealth of this world. Success is not in big buildings. Success is not in fancy cars. Success does not lie in the material things of this world. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh my Allah, send me back now. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. So that now I will do good deeds. Now I will aspire for akhirat. Now I will bring conviction on that which came from Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Allah will say, Kalla, never, now it is too late. The time has passed. The period to develop that conviction on the akhirat, the period to develop that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the life of this world, that short life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This was the primary effort of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, to turn the attention of the hearts of humanity away from the mushahadat, away from that which is apparent, towards the hidden treasures of one Allah. That bring conviction on Allah, on the greatness of Allah, on the majesty of Allah, on the glory of Allah. Your Allah is forgiving. Your Allah is most merciful. Your Allah is waiting for you. How merciful! On one occasion, a sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dejectedly, sadly, and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is there any hope for me that Allah will forgive me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him that what wrong have you done? He replies and says, that in the days of ignorance, I buried 70 of my own daughters alive. 70 daughters buried alive. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a rahmat, a mercy for humanity. Softer than his heart we cannot find. He was overtaken, shocked by what he heard. So he looked down. And when he looked down, the sahabi burst into tears, thinking to himself that there is no hope for me. Jibreel is sent with a verse of the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, يَا عِبَادِي, O my beloved slaves. This expression, Ya Ibadi, contains such a wealth of love and affection that it cannot possibly be translated justifiably in the English language. You cannot do justice to it. Suffice to say that a mother who has only one child lifts the child up, cuddles it closely to herself. It is known that this is her child. But in a burst of love and feeling for this child, she says, this is my child. The love that is contained in that expression multiplied 70 times is the love and affection that is contained when Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Ibadi, O my beloved slaves, let us pause and consider who is being addressed. Is a tahajjud guzar being addressed? Is one who never disobeyed Allah being addressed? Allah is addressing on this occasion someone who in the past was an idol worshipper. Those who buried 70 daughters alive. Allah is addressing them lovingly, affectionately. The requisite and demand for this occasion was, it should have been, O you zalim, O you oppressor, O you wrongdoer, don't lose hope in the mercy of your Allah. But what does Allah says? O my beloved slaves, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have transgressed upon their souls, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of your Allah. The doors of the courts of this world may have been closed upon you. The doors of the palaces of this world may have been closed upon you. Your near and dear ones may have deserted and forsaken you. Your own parents may have cut off ties with you. But your Allah will never forsake you. Your Allah is there. Your Allah is waiting. When are you going to come back to your Allah? When are you going to call out to your Allah? Never mind how much you have sinned. Never mind how much you have transgressed. Never mind which dens of vice you may have visited. In the dead of the night, the greatest sinner calls out, Ya Allah, Allah's Qasam. Allah replies, Labbaik Ya Abdi. O my slave, I am listening, I am present, what is it that you want? 70 times he will say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Allah's Qasam, 70 times Allah will reply, Labbaik, Labbaik, Labbaik. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Allah forgives all sins. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Such a Allah. And we find, my respected brothers, that the mercy, the shafqat, the kindness of Allah has been multiplied many, many times for the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa inna hadhihi ummatum marhuma. This is that ummah upon which the selected mercies of Allah are descending. This is that ummah. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ukhrijat linnas." You were taken out. You were selected. You were chosen. Choice from Allah. Appointment from Allah. Selection from Allah. One alim explains beautifully in contemporary terms by way of example what mantle of honor is contained in this expression ukhrijat. Sometimes when you have a dawat, some function we are going to have, there are those people who will be invited generally. Notice is put up on the masjid board that on certain date there is to be a function, please attend. Then there are those individuals who are closer, who we have more time, more affection for. Cards are sent to them. Then there are those special guests, because of whom probably this occasion is being held. Without them we wouldn't even want to give a dawat. Those special guests, we go to their house and personally invite them. That is what is meant by ukhrijat, personal invitation. And obviously if they are the honored guests, if they have been personally invited, if they hold that mantle of honor, then the allowances that are given to them also are that much more. Dasturkhan is laid out. The servant is bringing the jug of water. As he comes closer, he slips. And a little bit of water spills out. Straight away, the host will get angry and upset. What's wrong with you? You're blind. Can't you see where you're going? Handle that thing carefully. Retribution immediately. Why? He's just a servant. He doesn't have much importance in my eyes. Then the guest of honor, the one who has been personally invited, the food had a lot of oil in it, his fingers became slippery, he picks the glass up to drink some water, and because his fingers are slippery, the glass slips, and it breaks, it shatters, splinters of glass fly in every direction, spoil his plate, spoil the plates of one or two people around him, spoil the curry also. Here the host gets up, he doesn't say, what's wrong with you, you're blind, can't you see? He says, don't worry about it, leave it, don't worry about it. Our mistake, come quickly, clean it up, put another plate for him. Why? He is the guest of honor. Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mafhum of the hadith. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I am destroyed. What happened? It was the month of Ramadan. The Sahabi, by his nature, he would become sexually excited very quickly. He says, I tried to avoid, but towards the latter part of the day, my wife entered the house, and in that, looking at her, I couldn't control myself anymore, and I cohabited with my wife while fasting. What is my position now in the eyes of Allah? What must I do? What kafara should I give? How can I expiate this wrong which I have done? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cutting the incident so short, briefly, says to him that you have to fast for 60 consecutive days as kafara for the fast of Ramadan which was willfully broken. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, when this happened to me in one roza, in one fast, I couldn't control myself. How am I going to possibly fast 60 days consecutively? So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, never mind. If you can't do that, then feed 60 masakin, feed 60 poor people. He says, O Nabi of Allah, in the whole of Medina, there is no one poorer than me, there is no one more needy than myself. How am I going to feed 60 people? Just then someone brings hadiah, gift, 2 bucketful of dates. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, take these dates and feed 60 people. Let us pause and consider. In modern day times, this example is like someone was speeding on the highway. Now it is known KwaZulu Natal, zero tolerance. Nevertheless, he gets caught in a speed trap. Fine is given, 120 rand. He said, listen, I don't have the money. So the government gives him the money to pay the fine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, feed this dates to 60 people. He looks at the dates. Then he looks at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he looks back at the dates. Then he looks back at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, there is no one more needy than me in Medina. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, never mind, take the dates for yourself. There is no constitution in the annals of history which will ever put forth a parable of this nature, that one, he did the wrong, then he is given the payment, the fine for himself for the wrong that he did. To that extent, Allah tolerated and Allah forgave this ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to understand, my respect, respected brothers, that there is a reason for this. Allah does not have rishta. Allah doesn't have lineage or link with anyone. That on the basis of this lineage or link or relationship, one is given superiority over the other. One is treated more leniently than the other. This ummah was given these leniencies. The amal of this ummah was multiplied much more greater than the previous ummahs. This ummah was selected and chosen by Allah. There is no time to go into the various fazail and virtues of this ummah. Let us understand that there is a reason for this. Such virtue Allah granted to this ummah. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the riwayat. Then on one occasion, Musa alayhi salam makes dua to Allah, Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan, humus shafi'una wa humul mushaffa'una yawm al-qiyamah, faj'alhum ummati. O my Rabb, I find in the scriptures, in the scrolls, in the Torah that was revealed to me, mention of an ummah to come. They have such honor and status in your eyes, that they will intercede before you on the day of judgment and their intercession will be accepted. O my Allah, make this my ummah. The reply is given that, O Musa, this honor has been reserved for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again he makes dua, Ya Rabbi, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan, كَفَّارَةُ خَطَايَاهُمَ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ فَاجْعَلْهُمْ أُمَّتِي. At this juncture, let us pause, reflect on the veracity of what is taking place. This is a Jalilul Qadr Nabi of Allah, making dua to Allah because of the awsaf, of the qualities, of the favors of Allah that was granted to this ummah. But let us understand that these favors, this status, this honor is linked to sifat. It is linked to attributes. It is linked to amal. If these attributes, if these amal exist in this ummah, then they become worthy of the promises of Allah, which will definitely be granted to them. But if these sifat and these attributes and these amal are no longer found in the ummah, and the ummah has scant disregard for these amal and sifat, then let us understand Allah is samad. Allah is independent. Allah is not in need of us. He says, O my Rabb, an ummah is to come. They will perform 5 times daily salah. In return for this, you will expiate, you will wipe out their sins, you will make them sinless. Juma salah, the masjid is brimming, it is packed, no space. As a brother is leaving the masjid, tap him on the shoulder and ask him, that why next week Juma salah are you going to come for? He'll say, what an insulting insinuation. How can you even ask me such a thing? Of course I'll be here. Then in a softer tone ask him, that by Asr Salah are you coming for? He'll say, Inshallah, make dua. Masjid is brimming, Juma Salah. The next Salah after that, just 2 or 3 serfs. This has become the attitude of this ummah to those amal on the basis of which Anbiya made dua for this ummah. To such an extent, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed on this, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. He said the distinction between us and them, iman and kufr, is salah. He who leaves out salah, he has made kufr. Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, La hadza fil Islam liman taraka as-salah. There is no share in Islam for the one who does not perform his salah. Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala used to say, Man lam yusalli fa huwa kafir. He who does not perform his salah is a kafir. To that extent are the warnings. Allah is ready. Allah is willing. Perform 5 times daily salah, I will make you sinless. And this is the attitude that the ummah has to the injunctions, to the orders of Allah, to the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah doesn't have rishta or lineage or link with anyone. Allah is independent of us. Once the kuffar in Makkah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, the Arabs generally were a people that were very interested in this question of lineage. Each one knew his lineage. He would say, I am the son of so-and-so, who is the son of so-and-so, who is the son of so-and-so, and it would go back 10, 15, 20 generations from memory. So they came and they said, make bayan, elucidate, expound, explain, what is the lineage of Allah? Immediately, Jibreel is sent with the surah of the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدُ. Say unto them, He is Allah, He is one, He is alone, He is independent, He does not beget, nor was He begotten, and there is none like unto Allah. Samad, independent, لَا وَزِيرَ لَهُ لَا شَبِيهَ لَهُ. There is no advisor with Allah, no like of Allah, no minister with Allah. He is the controller, He is the sustainer, He is the nourisher, He is the maker, He is the breaker. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهُ. He is the ilah of the heavens and He is the ilah of this earth. There is only one decree, one law, one system, one controller of circumstances in the heavens and the earth, and that is Allah. يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah does as He wills. يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ. Allah guides whom He wants. يُضِلُّ مَن يَشَاءُ. Allah deviates whom He wants. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. Respect, dignity, honor, status in the hands of Allah. تُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. Disgrace, downtroddenness, humiliation, nothing to do with lack of science, with lack of technology, with lack of educational systems, with lack of numbers, with lack of wealth. زِلَّت, in the hands of Allah. Allah will bring down whom He wants to bring down. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Wealth, affluence in the hands of Allah. وَيَقْدِر, poverty, hunger, want, need in the hands of Allah. Adhaka, happiness in the hands of Allah. Abka, sadness in the hands of Allah. Amata, death in the hands of Allah.
Ahya, life in the hands of Allah. Ma sha Allahu kan, kama sha kan, fil waqt alladhi sha, ala al wajh alladhi sha, min ghayri ziyada, wala nuqsan, wala taqaddum, wala ta'akhur, wa ma lam yasha, lam yakun. That happens which Allah wants. In the manner Allah wants, in the time Allah wants, not more than that which Allah wants, not less than that which Allah wants, not before Allah wants, not after Allah wants, وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ, and that which Allah doesn't want, all the forces of this world can get together, it will never ever happen. Let us understand the plight of this ummah, the situation of this ummah. How we were in America, one dentist gave us his karguzari. He says there was one Islamic conference, and in that one of the dignitaries, he says, he asked me, he says, can't you see how the Muslims are being persecuted? How this ummah is being humiliated across the globe? Where is Allah in all this? Where is Allah? Na'uzubillah. He dared to speak it out loud. How many of us there is that sickness in our hearts that we are asking this question, where is Allah? So he says, I asked him that, where are you? Where are you going? You are in a hurry. You got one appointment 9 o'clock. You got another appointment 11 o'clock. You are chasing. You are in a hurry. Allah is looking at you. And Allah Ta'ala is saying that I have a fixed, decreed appointment with this nalaik 5 times every day. 5 times every day. He has an appointment with me. Yet he is not there. And today we are asking, where is Allah? Promises of Allah for this ummah are many. Look into Quran. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولقد سبقت كلمتنا لعبادنا المرسلين إنهم لهم المنصورون وإن جندنا لهم الغالبون من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Pure life for this ummah, izzat for this ummah, dignity for this ummah, honor for this ummah, help of Allah for this ummah, vicegerency of this earth for this ummah. Hadith also replete with the honor of this ummah. Yet lift our eyes up, lift our faces up, away from the pages of Quran, away from the pages of the books of Hadith, away from the annals of history, and look at the miserable, pitiable, humiliating picture with this ummah today presents. One wonders, is this the same ummah which the Quran speaks of in such glowing terms? Let us understand, وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. There is no one more truthful than Allah. Allah's promises are haq. But Allah's promises are linked to sifat, are linked to attributes, are linked to amal. Allah himself says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةِ. You, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the best of every ummah. Why? There is a condition. Allah doesn't have relationship. Ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken out. You have been selected. You have been chosen. You have been sent by Allah for the hidayat of humanity. Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Raisul Mufassireen, when he makes tafsir of Ukhrijat linnas, he says, when Allah conceived you in the wombs of your mothers, Allah conceived you for the effort of hidayat. Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhuma, when he makes tafsir, man sarrahu an yakuna min hadhihi al-umma falyuaddi shart Allah fiha. He who takes satisfaction, takes pride, is happy that Allah has made him from khayra umma, falyuaddi shart Allah. Let him fulfill not the condition of the tabligh jamaat, not the condition of some organization or group, شرط الله. Let him fulfill the condition that Allah has placed with this mantle. That you have been taken out. You have been selected for hidayat. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was khatamun nabiyyin. There is no new nabi to come. Yet Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the Rasul of Allah to each and every one of you. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have not sent you but to the entire humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a rahmat, a mercy, not just to the Arabs, not just to the non-Arabs of 1400 years ago. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a mercy for every alam. Yet only 23 years of nubuwwat, and in that entire period of time, he did not traverse beyond the Arabian Peninsula. What do these ayats of the Quran mean? What is the barakat of the khatme nubuwwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in relation to his ummat? What is that nizam, that system which Allah put in place, by which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become a legacy of rahmat and mercy to the last person to come before Qiyamah? My respected brothers, nubuwwat ended upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's qasam, the effort of nubuwwat did not end upon him. He prepared an ummat. He prepared an ummat who had in front of them his own example of sacrifice, of hardship, where everything was given for hidayat. No stone was left unturned. He finished himself. In Taif, Mu'arikheen write, 6 miles pelted. He would fall down. They would pick him up, force him to carry on running, so they could carry on pelting him, carry on insulting him, carry on scoffing at him, carry on setting the ruffians and hooligans upon him. Stone upon stone struck that Mubarak body, which is more beloved than the Arsh of Allah. Stone upon stone struck, until eventually his flesh split open, and blood started pouring down. In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of a Nabi, the blood was pouring down from his body. He was scoffing up the blood so that it does not pour onto the ground, because that ground upon which the blood of the Nabi has fallen upon, the azab of Allah becomes imminent for those people. Muhaddisin say he was referring to himself, that Nabi was sponging up the blood, and on his lips were the words, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people. Oh Allah, give them hidayat. Who was he making dua for? Those who were pelting him. He was making dua for idolaters. He was making dua for his enemies. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, because they do not know. Everything was given. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, one night he came to the house, stood in the musalla, started 2 rakat salah. Tears started pouring down from his eyes onto his cheeks. His beard became wet with tears, till the tears started dripping from his beard. Till Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and called him for Fajr Salah. The entire night, one ayat again and again, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Oh my Allah, if you give them azab, they are only your slaves. And if you forgive them, you are mighty and wise. The whole night. And like this, his whole life was given to prepare an ummah, which Allah says is khayra ummah, the best of every ummah. Why? Because they were taken out. Their day has to become the day of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their night has to become the night of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their cry, their pain, their fikr, their concern, their worry has to become that of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this, Allah has kept the izzat of this ummat. Allah has kept the honor of this ummat. Allah has kept the status of this ummat. And Allah has kept the protection of this ummat. When this ummat will understand its responsibility, that we have been sent Each ummati is zimedar, responsible for the entire mankind, and the entire mankind is responsible for each ummati of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My respected brothers, let us understand, like salah is an order of Allah, and like zakat is an order of Allah, and like hajj is an order of Allah, Allah's qasam, dawat and tabligh is an order of Allah. This is a responsibility. This deen is our deen. It is dying around us. Whose cry is this? Whose pain is this? Our iman, no new Nabi to come. What does this mean? Allah has forsaken humanity, na'uzubillah. No. We were made the vicegerents of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is our responsibility to raise the banner of the fikr of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like he was a rahmat, a mercy, lil alameen, each ummati, male, female, black, white, educated, uneducated, rich, poor, in any corner of the globe, has to become a rahmat, a mercy for humanity, as the Nabi of this ummat was a mercy to humanity. For this, my respected brothers, for us once again to understand our responsibility, we turn our backs on this, Allah has turned the conditions against us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. There is no quick fix solution. If we want hidayat, we want the help of Allah, we want the mercy of Allah to be directed to us, there is no quick fix solution. We have to come back practically onto Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only his daily life, but his fikr and concern has to become ours. For this ishtima is taking place over the next 2 days, an environment for us to understand what is our responsibility, so that Allah instills it in our heart and we make this decision. That in the past I may have been a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. Ya Allah, I make tawbah for this. Allah is waiting. His mercy, we cannot imagine. Make tawbah from the depths of our heart. When we turn our back on our responsibility, we made zulm on ourselves, we made zulm on humanity. That is why today the hearts of humanity have been filled with hatred for us. We have brought these conditions upon ourselves. When we fail to be a mercy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man la yarham, la yurham." Those who will not be a mercy, Allah will not show mercy upon them. Conditions will be turned against them. So make tawbah, my respected brothers, and make this firm decision. From now till we die, the effort of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must become the object of our lives. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
For the latest in Islamic computer software, Islamic audio CDs and cassettes for your hi-fi or car, contact Par Excellence at 011-830-097. That's 011-830-097. Par Excellence is a premier producer of Islamic software CDs and audio tapes. They are produced to the highest standards, thereby assuring premium digital sound quality. So call Par Excellence in Johannesburg at 011-830-097. Want to learn more about Islam? Then you need the Islamic Scholar Professional, the world's most comprehensive Islamic computer software on CD-ROM. The Islamic Scholar Professional is an information-packed, powerful, easy-to-use, versatile Islamic software package to learn more about Islam. It combines leading translations of the Quran, Hadith, History of Prophets, Islamic History, Muslim Contribution to the World, and more in a simple, intuitive, easy-to-use, Windows-compatible interface. It contains two complete recitals of the Holy Quran by Sheikh Abdul Basit and Sheikh Hudayfi, a complete recital of the Quran in English, various English language translations, including Yusuf Ali, Muhsin Khan, and Pickthall, two complete commentaries of the Quran, foreign language translations, background information of every surah, and a host of other information. It also contains the complete Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, and a host of other books of hadith and fiqh, history of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, chronological history, history of the Khalifas, letters and treaties of the Prophet Muhammad and Khalifas, halal haram foods, Islamic clip art, kalimas, duas, videos, The Islamic scholar professional contains so much that it's impossible to mention everything in this commercial. For more information, contact Par Excellence in Johannesburg at 011-830097 or visit our webpage at www.parexcellence.co.za. Do you want your children to learn to read the Holy Quran like Qari Abdul Basit? Then you need the Al-Ustadh CD-ROM. Al-Ustadh is based on madrasa and Islamic school syllabus that is recognized worldwide, including the LMA and Nurul Islam. The Al-Ustadh will start you right from the basics, using the phonetic method of teaching, and go into advanced aspects like tajweed. Al-Ustadh also contains kalimas, du'as, how to perform wudu, salah, a complete recitation of the Holy Quran, and much, much more. To get the Al-Ustadh, call Par Excellence in Johannesburg on 011-830097. That's 011-830097.